Well, I just got to say one thing to start off this service. We just heard the gospel. It was according to St. John, and it was carried by John. I didn't know that you read it, that you wrote that way, John. That was, wow, St. John. I'm telling you, yeah, it was. John's on my mind today because John is one of the cheerleaders in my life. We all have cheerleaders, people who root us on, who believe the best for us. Biggest cheerleader, of course, in my life is my wife, who loves me dearly in spite of knowing every part of me. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. And then God gives us people like John. And John affectionately calls me Father Scotty. And Father Scotty. And that came through a time when John, Dr. Don, Father Ed, and a group of us for over 9 years met Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. for men's prayer. It was an incredible time of bonding between this group of men. Maybe not people that I would normally hang out with any other way. But in the presence of the Lord, reading His Word and praying for each other through life's ups and downs. Amen, guys? We have been there for each other through numerous things. John became accustomed to what is known as random thoughts from Father Scotty. These are mini sermonettes that have no rhyme or reason. They're just some of the random thoughts I have in life. I started doing random thoughts when I was the worship pastor in our life past, and I used to give like a 5 or 10 minute meditation to the choir and the musicians, and that became random thoughts from Pastor Scott, and it ended up being random thoughts from Father Scotty and John. So you're going to get a random thought today. But I hope it's going to be a definitive random thought, that it's going to be one of those random thoughts that will never be random to you again. Okay? Is Father Looker in here? Okay. Look at here. That's one. We're going to do something really different today. I'm going to do something different today. My only reference to the scriptures that were read today was the reference I just made about John. My text today is not from anything that was written or read today in today's service. My text today is something a group of us got to live out. And I say forever changed us. And I've been trying to wrap my head and my mind and my heart around why. Why is this so powerful? And I believe God gave me some clarity this week through a series of events. I want to talk to you. This is not really an Easter message. I'm still in Lent. Because my focus today is the Good Friday service. Now, I know a lot of you were able to be here, but a lot of you are not able to attend Good Friday. Work gets in the way, other commitments get in the way. And let's face it, it's 3 hours. You know, some of us used to be able to come in and out. Before I was clergy, I'd take my lunchtime and come in and get just a little bit of it. But I couldn't get the whole thing. But since I've been in the ordained ministry, I've now been able to take Fridays off, and I'm able to participate in the Good Friday service from the beginning to the end. Every year we say this. This was the best yet. Until next year. And then next year we say, this was the best yet. And I've said that 12 years in a row. I fully anticipate to say that next year. This is the best yet. And if you will come with me, if you were here for the entire service, and I know some of you were, I beg your forgiveness for rehashing. But for the benefits of those who were not here, I want to give you a glimpse into the Good Friday service and what we experienced. The Good Friday experience is one of sitting literally in your mind and through the readings and through the meditations at the foot of the cross, listening to the last seven things Jesus instructed. The last seven things he said before he left his earthly body. Now, when you encompass that with his ministry of a public ministry of 3 years and everything that he said, and how powerful, I mean, we read the words, the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, and I can go on and on and on with the power of the words that Jesus said. The most power that Jesus spoke came on that cross. The Good Friday service reminds us of how powerful those words are. I even brought my bulletin from the Good Friday service because the notes that I made from that service. We start in silence, we come, we say, we read prayers, we start the thing, and then we have scripture reading. And this particular Good Friday, this last one we just did, Craig Stafford had the honor of reading the Old Testament. And the Old Testament was out of Genesis chapter 22. And it's the story of Abraham, a father. Not just any father, but Abraham, a father who had longed to have a son. We all know his struggle. We all know his journey. I'm not going to rehash that. But here Abraham is with the promise of God, living with him, looking like him. Flesh of his flesh. And God said, give me your son. Craig, I'm sorry I'm singling you out, but it set the tone for the whole service. Craig, a father of sons. Father Ed. Father David. Father Looker. Father Lon. Myself. We have sons. Craig read and began to weep as he got to the place where Isaac was asking Abraham, where's the sacrifice? A father's heart was birthed in all of us here. And on this front row, there was not a dry eye. We were weeping as well. It was so moving. It was so filled with the reality of what Abraham was being asked to do. Watch this. I was talking with someone at work who's done studies in Catholic seminary and specialized in Hebrew and Latin. Key scripture in Genesis 22, verse 8 said, I'll start at verse 9. Isaac asked Abraham, "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" The child's asking dad, "I know what we got to do. We got to sacrifice. You got everything. And there's you and me and nothing to sacrifice. Where's the lamb?" And Abraham said in great faith, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. God himself will prepare. Abraham's great faith statement. He knew that God was going to make provision. My friend that I was talking to said grammatically there are a lot of nuances in the original text. And this original text could be read rather than "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," could be read in the old text, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering himself," with a comma. God will provide himself, which is exactly what he did. He provided the physical lamb that day for Abraham, but eventually the foretelling of the sacrifice of the blood of the lamb on the cross, God provided himself. We have got to, as Christians, in today's modern society, we have got to understand the power of the cross. I know we celebrate Easter Sunday, the resurrection. We're getting ready in 50 days or so or less to celebrate Pentecost, where the church was birthed and God sent down the Holy Spirit. These are things to rejoice in. These are things to celebrate in. But if it wasn't for the cross, none of them would have happened. I think I'm getting ready to go from a random thought to preaching today. Because I prayed, God, I got all this stuff and I just don't know how it's all going to go together. But I know it's all going to go together and the focus is going to be the cross. I even asked for this image to be put up today. That image makes some of us feel so uncomfortable. I have Christian friends who are offended by that image. Believers in Christ, bought with a price, love God, but they look at that and they're offended because they say, my God is risen. He is no longer on that cross. You've heard it. Come on. Guess what? I've said it. I was one. I have said that before. I don't need to look at that cross. My God's not on that cross. My God ever is seating at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on my behalf, giving me all good things. He wants to provide everything. That's all true. But if he wasn't there, if he didn't do that, if he didn't bleed, if he wasn't in agony, there's nothing there for me. That was him being my sacrifice. That was him taking on my unrighteousness. That was him making a way where there was no way for me to be reconciled with God. That is the true passion of God that we serve. The Good Friday service, in a nutshell, is once we do scripture readings, we have a special presentation, either a dance or a song. This particular, this last Good Friday, we were blessed by Sarah Scheel, Amanda Pasinger, and Amanda Bromley. Every movement, every song, anointed, moving. As they're geared those pieces and the music is geared for the meditation that we're getting ready to hear. Then we hear a meditation. Then we have silence as we meditate on what we just heard and how does that apply to my life. Then we have a group of prayers and then we do it all over again. And every time we do one, they go deeper and deeper and deeper until there's nothing left of you save your arms around that cross. That's why I love that service so much. That is what's so real. We had meditations by Craig, who spoke of, oh my. That was not anything to do with what you spoke of, Craig. The first meditation Craig did was, Father, forgive them. Jesus from the cross, asking his Father in heaven to have mercy on those who had put him on the cross, who had beaten him, who were getting ready to take his life. And these important words he says is, Father, forgive them. If that's my cross, I must do the same. No matter what people do to me, no matter how they offend me, no matter how they hurt me, no matter how they betray me, I must ask for their forgiveness. I have to. If that's my cross. So far, you with me? Okay. The next one was Kevin. Kevin Pasinger. And Kevin spoke about, today you will be with me in paradise. the two thieves. Kevin challenged us. He asked us, which thief are you? Are you the one that embraced the sacrifice of what Christ was doing on that cross? Or are you the one deflecting your guiltiness onto someone else and ridiculing them, joining everyone else that was in the crowd? Which one are you to that cross? Well, I venture to say we're both. I've been in my life, I've been, God, remember me. And I've also been in my life, God, where are you? This stinks. What are you doing? Their fault, his fault, her fault, everybody's fault, the government's fault, society's fault, and just trying to shift blame off of me. Because when I'm at the foot of that cross, there is no one else hanging on that cross but me. Very challenging. Father Looker then started more tears as he came up and he did, woman, behold your son. We all have mothers. Venture to say, no matter what your relationship, my relationship with my mother was very rocky until the last 5 years of her life. But she was always my mama. There are times I didn't want to be around her. There were choices she made in her life that made it very difficult for me. She was always my mama. Your mom's is always your mom's. You can quote that one too, Looker. Your mom is always your mom. And Jesus from the cross was fulfilling one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Mother, behold your woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He was making provision for his mother from his physical passing. He was also trying to, some of the agony. Think about this for a minute. When I went through rough places in my life, when I go through a hard time, the last person I want to see me go through that is somebody that I know loves me unconditionally. A mother loves a child unconditionally. When a child is in pain, a mother is in pain. All the mamas are shaking their head. You know what I'm saying. That was part of the pain, part of the sacrifice that Jesus was going through on that cross. I don't think there was a dry eye after Father Looker got done with that one, because we can all relate to mamas.